The agricultural system in Africa is beginning to be overrun by genetically modified crops and large-scale farming. Foundations such as AGRA are at the heart of this shift. Although they are originally put in place to help feed the people of Africa, many question if the new technologies and farming techniques being implemented are appropriate for the African people. In order to look further into this issue, I interviewed Travis English from the AgriWatch group.
My name is Travis English, and last year I traveled to Kenya. So I was looking at two sides. One, I was looking at the resistance to the Green Revolution, and that was mostly happening amongst farmer organizations and human rights organizations. And I was also looking at what the alternatives are to the new Green Revolution in Africa.
While he was in Kenya, Travis interviewed many farmers and activists. One of them was Josphat Ngonyo.
My name is Josphat Ngonyo. I work for Africa Network for Animal Welfare. However, I also am a member of the Kenya Biodiversity Coalition. This is a network of many organizations, farmer groups, fisher folk. We have consumers. We have civil societies. We have animal welfare organizations. And all these came together to address issues on GE and GMO. What we need to do is manage and enhance the technologies that we have.
Techniques which utilize sustainable methods of farming are successful. While in Africa, Travis visited agricultural centers practicing these methods.
One organization, the Grow Biointensive Agricultural Center of Kenya, led by Samuel and Paris, they have this one-acre training center, and they hold regular classes there to teach people in the community how to use these methods. So some of the methods that they're using, so the Grow Biointensive movement uses agroecological methods. What that means is that their main focus is on the soil and the people that are growing the food. So they use soil conservation techniques, water conservation techniques. So a lot of the farmers have enough land that they're producing for the family, and then they're also producing for market as well. And the way they focus their crops are a certain percentage is for building compost. Crops are purposely grown because of their ability to compost quickly. And then they'll produce grains, staples, and then specialty crops, fruits and vegetables. And then they also produce fodder for their animals. And in doing that, they also incorporate agroforestry methods. So they're growing trees, especially when they're on hillsides. They'll grow trees that have deep roots. And those roots will go down and stabilize the soil. But then they'll prune the trees as they grow so that the trees only have foliage on the very top. And all that foliage that they pull from the trees goes straight to their animals. So a lot of the cattle that we saw were eating a mix of compost crops or fodder crops, as well as foliage from the trees.
In order to provide true help to the people of Africa, the focus needs to be changed to building an infrastructure which supports the small-scale farmer.
The focus is misplaced. If we look at what the farmers need, water, for instance, to maybe irrigate their farms, resources to make sure that they have infrastructure that can get them to the markets or get their foods to the market. People want partnership. They would be happy to have the right partners who would come and perpetuate and enhance their technologies, and not those who are profit-minded. Most of the African farmers, particularly small-scale farmers, are poor farmers. Most of these technologies, once they're introduced free. Initially, they're given free seeds, they're given free chemicals, they're assisted. But eventually, those who have introduced the technology pull out, and the farmers have to be on their own. They have to get loans, they have to maintain the crop. So they're being drawn or pulled into a cycle where they have to spend to get. They have to spend money that they don't have. In a broad way, it's like a situation where there's a kind of hidden agenda, enslaving the people, making the people depend on you.
Large-scale farms which incorporate the use of GMOs and chemicals are clearly detrimental to the agricultural system in Africa.
Going back to Samuel in Paris, and the time we visited, they had gone 3 months without seeing any rain, and the rain they had seen was very little, and so they were in the middle of a drought. And it was amazing to see their farm, because they're surrounded by conventional farmers, and they are an island amongst the sea of conventional farmers, and because during the drought, the methods they use allow them to keep farming, whereas the other farmers who don't have access to water, their fields dry up, and they're not able to produce. The important thing about these alternative methods that were explored in Kenya is that they're based on using what comes from the farm.
The voices of the African farmers desperately need to be heard. Groups such as AgriWatch are making this happen. If you're interested in getting involved yourself, you can reach them at seattleglobaljustice.org. I'm Monica Hawkins. Thank you for listening.